This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Richard Lloyd and Dee Dee Smith join me live in studio to talk about the latest on the 50-year water supply plan. Recent comments by Tom Frederick of the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, Dee Dee, that he said it's cheaper to build a new reservoir rather than dredge. And yet, this comes on the heels of the study that showed that dredging is infinitely cheaper by probably what's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars. So what does he mean it's cheaper to build a new reservoir?
Well, first of all, thanks for having us, Coy. And, you know, basically, this is a card trick. What he's talking about is, first of all, he's only comparing the dredging estimate to just building the new dam. He's not talking about building the pipeline that is absolutely necessary to fill this empty reservoir that they're talking about.
So he's leaving out some of the costs of the new reservoir.
He's leaving out the major cost of the reservoir. We have also not gotten the information that the city has insisted on getting before any decision is made on how much water we're actually going to need. That is a study that is being just started now, as well as we haven't heard anything about the study being done on what the impact on I-64 will be, whether they can actually saturate the embankment at I-64 and still, you know, have a safe highway.
At what point does VDOT get involved in this decision? Because, you know, we're talking about building a reservoir underneath a major interstate highway, you know?
Right. Well, you know, basically that study that is being done now by a firm called Volkert or something like that, is talking with VDOT. But that's what we're waiting for. I've thought all along this was going to be a major problem for this reservoir, is the fact that it will not only go under I-64, it will go up the embankment. And that embankment is a man-made embankment to begin with.
So they're going to saturate the sort of ledge of land that the interstate is built on.
Exactly, which was not built as a dam.
Let me ask you this now. And the phone lines are open, 977-1070. You want to join us, join this conversation, won't you? It's a local call, and we can't do it without you. 977-1070. When I heard Tom Frederick's argument, basically, that it's cheaper to build a new reservoir, I honestly, the first thing I thought of was, isn't that like saying you have to buy your peanut butter at Sam's Club because it's cheaper by the ounce?
Exactly.
Even though you might not need 100 gallons of peanut butter, Richard, it's going to be cheaper by the ounce rather than getting it at Walmart or the grocery store.
Yeah, but it's worse than that. It's not just cheaper by the ounce. The new reservoir is 2.2 billion gallons. It is improbable that it'll be filled by the Sugar Hollow pipeline. In other words, you're going to get a big hole in the ground with no water. It doesn't do anything for you unless you have water to put in it. And without the pipeline, you don't have the plans incomplete, and you can't fill it. So what do you get? You used to get the same amount of water you've got now with the current reservoir, and you get a big bill, and you get a big load of debt, and you have to pay a whole lot of interest.
And you've lost the South Fork Ravana Reservoir because that plan to build that dam is absolutely tied to the loss of the South Fork Ravana Reservoir. They estimate that it will go down from 1,200 million gallons down to 200 million gallons. So actually, more than half of the water that they're planning to add to Ragged Mountain is to make up for the loss of water at South Fork.
So we're going to pretty much empty out the South Fork of the Ravana Reservoir to fill up this new bathtub.
No. You're going to fill the South Fork with sediment over the next 50 years, and you're not going to dredge it out. So you're going to lose that impoundment. You're going to lose that amount of water that you have saved for the protection against drought, and you have replaced it with the new Ragged Mountain Reservoir. So if you have 2 billion added and you're taking 1 billion away, you get, you know, you work out the math a little tighter than that. And what is it, Dee Dee? 700,000?
Yeah. So we're talking with Dee Dee Smith and Richard Lloyd. So Tom Frederick's argument, it just seems to be on the face of it just to be a specious argument. I mean, it's just like...
Oh, it is. Absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
We do not need that much water. If we needed that much water, then you could look at price per unit. But we don't. I mean, it's like if you're... you know, if you need a cup of milk to bake muffins, why would you buy a gallon? Because it's cheaper by the ounce.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't
exactly.
need it.
Yeah.
You do not need it.
So what's your reaction, Richard, when you look at the cover of the Daily Progress today that says the headline, Report Dredging Expensive, because it's about this very subject?
Well,
the whole report said that dredging was so much cheaper than we thought it was, and it's infinitely cheaper than building a new reservoir. So
it tells me that Charlottesville better get behind the problem. We have a problem here. I mean, you look at this, and it is not a complete analysis of the cost because it doesn't have the pipeline in it. Charlottesville is an intelligent town. They should see that they're not getting anything for their money. And worse than that, the supervisors, because we haven't had the update on the demand analysis, the supervisors are being asked to make a decision based upon flawed, faulty, old information.
And the other really interesting thing here is the headline says, dredging expensive. Well, the $40 million estimate was the original estimate back in 2003, which Ravana upped to $140 million and then upped again to $225 million. So $40 million is actually not that expensive.
So when do we give up believing this stuff? When do we get to the point where there have been so many complete misses that we just stop believing what they tell you? You see it on the front page of the paper and you can't believe it. It doesn't have any validity behind it. The demand analysis, they don't even want to wait for the demand analysis to be updated. They didn't even want it to be updated.
Now, don't speak for Tom Frederick. I don't want you to do that. But give me some idea for why he would make such a specious argument to say, well, you know, if we just look by the gallon, it's going to be cheaper to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on a new reservoir. I mean, again, I say, that's like saying you've got to buy your peanut butter at Sam's Club buy a 100 million gallon jug of peanut butter because it's cheaper by the ounce, you know?
Well, you know, basically,
I mean, where are they coming from and why are they making these silly arguments?
You know, and I can't speak to their motives and I'm not going to try to, but there are a whole, you know, sort of, there's a group of people out there who are dying to see this dam built and dying to store a massive amount of water, water that we have no anticipation of needing. And why? You'll just have to ask them.
So the dredging report part two is in, but even that was centered on dredging it all at one time. You don't have to dredge it all at one time.
Now, this is an important point, and flesh this out for us, because everybody is basing all the estimates on dredging on a report that basically assumed that you were going to go out and start one morning and dredge until you were done.
Right.
And go ahead.
But you're only losing right now about 0.5%. This is what we learned in phase one of the dredging report. 0.5% of the capacity, of the volume of the reservoir to infiltration of sediments and silts and, you know, muck.
That's so it's filling in, but it's not filling in quickly.
Right. So if you were to dredge, instead of the whole thing, let's just say the goal was to dredge 5% per year. So it's a 20-year project. That accounts for maintenance dredging so that you don't have the inflow building up. And it also allows you to dredge the whole thing in 20 years. Now, the cost of that, and we have to, I'd hope that it would be in the study, but the cost of that in the back of the envelope analysis is less than the cost of interest if you were to do the other alternative and build the dam.
It's much cheaper, in other words.
Yeah.
It's
much,
cheaper.
Much, much cheaper.
Much, much cheaper.
Much, much cheaper. You don't have to have all this big site to dewater the whole thing at one time. You only have to have enough land to dewater that 5% per year. You're talking me of 5-10 acres instead of hundreds of acres.
And that kind of money is already built into the wholesale rates, actually, because Ravana upped the rates back in 2002 in anticipation of a community water plan. So they already
have the money to dredge 5% a year and make it a 20-year plan.
And that takes
care of the reservoir. We have the arguably the water that we need for any future droughts.
And exactly. It'll be properly maintained.
You don't have to go into debt. You don't have to raise the rates anymore.
Exactly. And you don't have to depend on an increased water use, which is what that water supply plan was built upon, that our water use would go up and up and up, and it is not. It is going down and down and down. Do you know, Coy, that we are using today 20% less water on a daily basis than we were before the drought of 2002?
Now, Coy, HDR, who did these phase one and phase two of the dredging report, is a very fine company. And they answered the questions that were asked of them. But why wasn't that asked? It's been brought up in public meetings at least 5 times.
Why wasn't it asked, what's the cost of doing it like 5% a year?
Call it small bites.
Yeah. Which gets back to the argument that, I guess, you know, the sensible folks in this town have been making. That's what we should have been doing all along.
Exactly.
Is just a little dredging every year within our budget, maintaining our existing water supply, instead of letting it go to the dogs, and then years down the road saying, well, let's throw that out and spend hundreds of millions of dollars
exactly.
we don't have on a new reservoir.
Yeah, and that reservoir at South Fork is a valuable asset. It's owned by the city, and it's a valuable asset. It's not an insignificant thing that could not be replaced. You could not permit that reservoir to be built again as it is. It's unthinkable that they would throw it away.
Well, not only that, but it's an environmental disaster for the future. If you let it silt in, then you've got 500 million cubic yards of sediment 50-100 years from now sitting behind an aging dam. It is basically
that the city is responsible for
a disaster waiting for future generations.
Yeah.
If
no.
we do not maintain it today.
Maintain, well, I was talking about South Fork.
South Fork.
Yeah, you're talking about South Fork.
I'm talking about South Fork. Yeah.
And that is, and again, to remind folks, that is Ravanna's plan, is basically just to abandon the South Fork.
Yeah, to abandon it. Let it silt in. They absolutely, it's written into their plan.
But they have not done any analysis of that dam, because the forces on that dam will literally double when you put silt behind it. You have not only the weight of the silt, but you have the hydrostatic pore pressure of the water.
Yeah. The dam's not built to hold back earth. It's built to hold back water.
It's not a retaining wall.
Yeah. We're talking with Dee Dee Smith and Richard Lloyd. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Remind me again, where does this come from? That's what I think most at the end of the day. Who's pushing this plan? Why are they still pushing this plan? Where is it coming from? I mean, is it just as simple as saying, well, it's the realtors and the builders and the developers who want more water than we need, because then it's easier for them to get projects approved in new neighborhoods and growth and that kind of thing.
Ridge Schuyler of the Nature Conservancy claims in individual credit for coming up with this plan. He's a lobbyist that works for the Nature Conservancy. Past that, the only really open-minded supervisor that I've found is Rodney Thomas. And then, of course, you've got Dave Norris, who's becoming a stalwart in this whole discussion. He's the guy that keeps
pointing out the obvious.
And asking for good information. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, to answer your question, there are very powerful special interests behind this plan that involve not only expanding providing massive amounts of more water, but also there's a river restoration aspect to this that the Nature Conservancy has espoused and actually came up with the whole plan based on a river restoration component that, quite frankly, we've always said could be incorporated into a dredging
scenario. Now, that's a really important part of this that people who are following this sort of in a cursory way might not be aware of, but it really is a critical factor in this. The Nature Conservancy, their whole interest in this new reservoir and not dredging the existing one, which is a whole lot cheaper, despite what the headline in the Progress tells you today, it's a lot cheaper. And as you point out, Richard, even cheaper if you don't do it all at once. You just do a little bit every year. It's infinitely cheaper. The whole point of building this new reservoir for the Nature Conservancy is to restore water flow to the Mormons River coming out of Sugar Hollow, right?
Right, and they're unfortunately ignoring other sources of water that were not considered by the original plan founder, Ridge Schuyler. One of them is the fact that you've got Beaver Creek. Beaver Creek's good for 1.1 billion gallons if you use the flood control water on top of it. In addition to that, you've got the Blue Ridge Flank. A study was just done by the Groundwater LLC, chair of the of Thomas Jefferson Conservation District, Craig Evans, did it, and he came up with the Blue Ridge Flank aquifer. And the aquifer could easily supply enough water for Crozet in its maximum build-out.
Right. So this is what we're saying, is that in fact, there are other sources that could allow relieving the Mormons of supplying water to Ragged Mountain, which is what its current role is. It supplies, it's not even all that much of the total water that we use every day. But there are very simple methods that could be used to relieve that.
Yeah.
And that's just, there's just these blinders on to alternative modes. But the fact is that the urban ratepayer is going to have to pay for this. And so those people who don't have to pay for it are not all that, don't appear to at least be all that concerned about
how
much
it's
going
to cost. But the rest of us who are on public water, when we watch our water rates go through the roof when they didn't have to.
Exactly.
That's what's so frustrating about this is that the decision makers, so many of the decision makers involved in this seem to be, as you point out, the blinders on. They seem to have already made up their minds. And yet they're not working with good information. And to me, just in my opinion, they're just not making sensible decisions. They keep pushing this plan that doesn't make any sense.
And they release these red herrings into the discussion that just
like saying it's cheaper to build a big reservoir if you look at it by the gallon.
Right, exactly. Without
we're not looking at it by the gallon.
No, it's a ridiculous argument. And you don't need those gallons.
It's just a big hole in the ground. Without a pipeline, it's just a big hole in the ground. I mean, what do you get? The current pipeline is keeping up with the current Ragged Mountain. It was designed to do that, and they want to build this great big Ragged Mountain, but it's just going to be a hole in the ground until you get this 36-inch uphill powered pipeline.
And they really want to push building the reservoir and worry about the pipeline later, even though the new reservoir does not work at all without the pipeline. But they sort of seem to be saying, oh, we'll figure that part out later.
10 to 15 years later.
And that the irony, and I think I said this last time I was on your show, is that it's the Mormons River that's going to suffer for it. Because it's the Mormons River that they're going to max out in order to get any water into that new reservoir.
And they're willing.
That's what they're planning on doing. It's going to take them years and years and years. And it's going to be so much more water than they've pulled from the Mormons before.
And they're going to lay, $4,000 or $5,000 of debt on every man, woman, and child on the system. $4,000 to $5,000 of debt for every man, woman, and child on the system.
To build something that we don't need.
Even that, they won't come up with a credible demand analysis to show that we may need it. I don't think we need it, but I would really like to see a credible, experienced, qualified, certified company come in and do a real demand analysis and tell us. Then the elected officials can make a reasonable decision.
Phone lines are open, 977-1070. We're talking water, the very latest with Dee Dee Smith and Richard Lloyd. What is the latest, before we go to the phones, real quickly, what is the latest on the new demand analysis? Because we've talked before about how the existing demand analysis used very flawed information and gave us numbers that we already know. It's supposed to be out 50 years, but we already know just a few years in they're Way, way off.
Garbage.
And, basically they've just hired a very small firm.
Ravana has hired.
But at the insistence of Dave Norris, who's on the board at Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, to just revisit. It's not a brand new demand analysis, but he did ask for three things. One was to factor in the last 10 years of use, which is when we've really seen the most conservation impact. Also, any new changes in development, which go both ways, both the Board of Supervisors' interest in light industrial and the fact that Biscuit Run is not going to
happen. The existing demand analysis factored in Biscuit Run, the largest neighborhood in the history of Albemarle County, but that's not going to get built. That became a state park.
It's not going to be built, whether it was factored in. I don't know that they actually even looked at anything like that. And then there was a third component.
That's all right. Let's go to Betty. She was on the morning show. Betty, your partner in water. Go right ahead real quick.
I just want them to address one thing in the Daily Progress. Ken Boyd, we know that we are going to need more water in the future. And Richard and Dee Dee and our group, I think they've all really done an excellent job in coming up with much cheaper alternatives. But Ken Boyd in the paper today says that we're going to need a pipeline for Ragged Mountain, and Sugar Hollow is going to be more expensive to use as a pipeline from the Mormons to Ragged Mountain than a brand new pipeline. And I'd like them to talk about why our group thinks that's another specious statement that Mr. Frederick has made to City Council, and now it's being repeated by Ken Boyd. So,
Betty,
the Sugar Hollow pipeline.
Thanks so much. Go ahead.
Well, way back when they first looked at this project, they put out a forecast of the cost of it, and the cost included refurbishing or replacing in the Sugar Hollow pipeline. It was $12,800,000. Of course, the dam was only $15 million back then, too. The Sugar Hollow pipeline is a cast iron pipeline. It's been attacked as saying that it's old and crumbling. I dare anybody to find anything on that pipeline that's crumbling. Cast iron is a very fine, cast iron's a range of products. Some of it is called architectural cast iron. It's used in lawn furniture and so forth. Other parts of it are what's called puddled cast iron, and puddled cast iron is what was the Eiffel Tower was built out of, and along with a number of buildings in, still in service in Brooklyn, New York, and bridges all through Europe. There's just no
so you think this is a bit of a red herring too, that the existing pipeline from the Sugar Hollow Reservoir
to Ragged Mountain. Well, they haven't done any non-destructive testing. They have no credible evidence. They can go inside and say, well, the surface is old and it's got a little deposit on it, but it's microscopically thin. It's very thin.
Let's go to Blair. Blair is online, too, in Charlottesville. Blair, go right ahead.
Thanks, Coy. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Fantastic.
I wanted to comment about a Tom Frederick statement, and I wanted to isn't that like saying it's the same cost to build the Panama Canal as a new reservoir? That's what Richard and Didi were saying the last time they were on your show. And sure it is, unless you include inflation. So sort of my question is, since they also are using rhetorical tricks and leaving out information, do they have any credibility to criticize Tom Frederick?
Well,
and one more thing.
Yeah.
I think that history is overwhelming the critics. If you go back to 2002 and the worst drought on record, of course it wasn't. I was the only person who researched to find out if that was true, and it turns out it's not. And some of the people who were in charge of the Rivanna Reservoir Authority back then didn't say anything. And, you know, so history is actually, I think, is paying them back and not giving them the traction that they need if they had the history and the credibility to actually criticize right then. And I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Absolutely. Blair, thanks for the call and thanks for joining the program. Got a minute left. Go right ahead.
Blair, thank you very much for the call. I think the quote is a little bit inaccurate. When Rivanna finally came up with the $200 and some million to dredge the reservoir, somebody checked on the cost of dredging the Panama Canal, which was less. I don't like the analysis because the time period is so different that the value of the dollar has changed substantially. It was trying to, somebody, not I, not Didi, were trying to make the point. But the $220 million is way over what we now know from the Phase 2 dredging analysis to be true. Second thing is that Didi and I have gone to great extremes to go back and find source material for anything that we say. If you'd like, you can email us, you can call us, I'd be glad to talk with you about it, or you can go on seavillewater.info. And all of our source material is listed there on the webpage, and it's quite a bit of it. We'd be happy to defend anything that we say.
There you go. Didi Smith and Richard Lloyd, going to have to break here. We're out of time. Thank you for the callers, and thank you both for being here.
Thanks so much for having us, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.